Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can tope.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio is on the air, live and direct from beautiful Potland, Oregon, where weed's been legal for a week, and everything's gone to hell. Oh, yeah. Fiery wrecks on the freeways, roving bands of teenage pot zombies, the entire economy's collapsed. It's a living hell here in Oregon, now that we've legalized weed for a week. So don't move here. You'd hate it here. It's awful. The whole world's gone to hell since legalization. All right. Our phone lines are open. Toll free 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Following up on that last bit of ranting about Senator Jeff Cruz, here's a shock. Senator Cruz voted for that HB 3549. In fact, the Senate voted for it. Looks like 28-1. Only Senator Dembro voted against this thing. And it passed the House. Looking in the House, I see a couple of excused, but it looks like it passed. Let's see, two excused would make it, let's see, 55, like 53-5, something like that. So quite interesting there. Almost completely, overwhelming unanimous votes in both chambers. Looks like the government will sign that, so we're in good shape as far as protecting our citizens, at least trying to protect our citizens from some of Monsanto's products. I've never been one of those, like, you know, super hate Monsanto type guys, right? I mean, I'm not fond of them, but, you know, my thing's been marijuana legalization if I didn't have enough time, but the more I learn, the more I learn about this stuff, the more I'm starting to hate them. And I'm not, you know, I'm also not like anti-GMO, right? I'm pro-labeling, though. I think everybody ought to be able to know what's in their food. I'm all for that. I'm pro-labeling, but I'm not for banning things. I'm generally against banning anything. I think generally speaking, we're better off regulating things than we are banning them. We really need to, and this brings up all sorts of concepts in this fight for freedom that we're all a part of. And it's interesting to me how this breaks down among cannabis consumers, because there is overlap, a lot of Venn diagram overlap of the anti-GMO people and the marijuana people. There's a lot of people that are both. I'm not so anti as I am just, you know, wanting more information. I always think the people deserve more information on these things. But, you know, I also think that a lot of the GMO debate is dominated by people who really don't know the science and are, you know, they latch onto some buzzwords and they run with it, right? Like one of the most crucial pieces of information, really basic, the one of the foundational things of this GMO argument is understanding exactly what the hell we're talking about. A genetically modified organism. And some of these people debating the issue confuse selective breeding with genetic modification. And this is the problem, and the reason I bring this up is because this GMO argument sometimes is used by our opponents in trying to fight medical marijuana or marijuana legalization. I've heard Kevin Sabet say it lots. I've heard him, you know, phrase it like, well, if you're worried about GMOs in your tomatoes, you really ought to be worried about GMOs in your marijuana, since marijuana has been a genetically modified organism since the 70s. And what he's talking about isn't genetic modification. He's talking about selective breeding. I mean, if a super silver haze plant is a genetically modified organism, then so is Roscoe the Jack Russell Terrier. He's a genetically modified organism. In fact, any dog under that definition is a GMO, because had we not selectively bred the dogs, they'd still all be wolves. Similarly, had we not selectively bred and purposefully harvested only females, the marijuana plants, then we'd still have seedy marijuana that was like 5% THC at best. But that's selective breeding. That's taking two marijuana plants and merging them to come up with something better. Just like taking two dogs and merging them to come up with something better. A genetically modified organism, on the other hand, is when we're taking the genetic code out of a completely separate species and writing that code into the code of a different species. Like when they take a particular strand of DNA that provides resistance to a certain Monsanto chemical and they breed it into a soybean, right? They take something from a bug that's resistant to this chemical and they take this bug's DNA and they put it into a plant. That's a genetically modified organism. And we don't have anything like that in marijuana.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger-flipping, public school-educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
All right, coming up here in hour two, we've got our Daily Toker Tunes for this wonderful Tuesday. Electric Bob's got us some music from Tesla. Really? And check out his record label. It's Dusk Till Dawn Records. You can find him on SoundCloud with dashes between each of those words. So if you go to soundcloud.com/darktilldawnrecords, dark-till-dawn-records, you'll find Electric Bob's record label. We'll be hearing from him at 20 after. 420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Funky Rollin'.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Four20 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Oh my gosh! It's D-Double! O-Type Swerve on production!
It's street fighting time.
Round one, fight.
If it's me or my dad, you get a scar on your chest like Saga. Street fighting, that's what I'm bad at. My thing working
perfect.
I come through in the beat up on dog. Give man a hundred slaps like Yonder. Give me the mic and let me ride with them, cause I spit the fire just like now. I'm a Liverpool invader, climbing to the top just like Vega. You see me, nobody can save ya. On the mic, I'm way too major. Cause I'm shocking MCs like Blanca. I got money in the bank, I'm a banker. You ain't got money in your bank, you're a wanker. I'm quick with the hooks like Bull Rock. Get the rave.
Welcome back, everybody. That's DEE with Street Fighter Rhythm. It's Electric Tuesday, so you're going to hear all sorts of electronic music during our break times throughout the day. And that's the way it works every day here at 420radio.org. We replay podcasts from all around the world on marijuana policy. And then for the last 15 minutes of the hour, you'll hear selected clips as well as tunes for that day's genre. And the way that it works on Monday, you'll hear Roots Monday music. That's blues, jazz, folk, classic rock. On Tuesdays, Electric Tuesday, you will hear electronic and house and trance and that kind of experimental music. Wednesdays, Ivy Wednesday, we get world music featuring reggae, Latin, and all sorts of sounds from around the world. Thursday is our Groovin' Thursday. You'll hear rap, R&B, hip-hop, funk music, soul music. And on Fridays, Rockin' Friday, you're going to hear rock, metal, outlaw country, anything that shreds. And to go with all of those music days, we also have music programs that air at 8 p.m. Pacific time. On Fridays, you get the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, 2 hours of live music. And we've also got the Herb Thrasher podcast that we record at the top of hour two. You can get that on iTunes as of today. Check out iTunes for the Herb Thrasher podcast. On Thursdays, we have Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink that replays Thursdays at 8 p.m., but it's also recorded live Fridays at 10 p.m. if you want to check Big Daddy out. On Wednesdays, we have the Gordon Green's Music Planet, an hour of great world music with a theme. Tuesdays, Electric Bob's Boogaloo, and Electric Bob puts together music from his Dark Till Dawn records label and other record labels out there. And then on Mondays, we had been doing the Viper Hour, and we've debuted a new show called Totally Hilarious Comedy, and throughout the rest of the summer, you will hear one or the other of those shows on Monday nights. All right, let's get back to the story that we've been talking about, Oregon Senator Jeff Cruz. During the break, I was able to go to followthemoney.org and look up who has been donating to Oregon Senator Jeff Cruz. Now, he used to be in the Oregon House, and now he's in the Oregon Senate. He's run twice in the Senate and five times in the House, won every single election. And according to the records here for the Oregon Senator, the top donor to Jeff Cruz, and he's raised over $500,000 in his career. A tenth of that, $54,900, came from health professionals, doctors and their clinics and so forth. The next greatest donor at $47,000, pharmaceuticals and health products. The next donor at $35,000, forestry and forest products. The fourth donor, hospitals and nursing homes, at $28,500. So of his top four donors, three of them come from the healthcare industry, $54,900, $35,172, and $28,585, for a total of $118,000, well over a fifth and almost a fourth of what Jeff Cruz has raised as a candidate. He's raised $575,000, has come from healthcare industries. And that's just the top four that I was looking up. 11, 18, 657. That's 20%. And let's see what we can find as far as 11, 18, 567. And that, again, like I said, is just from the top donors that we go to. If we take a look, let's see, where was that at? As a candidate, top industries. There we go. Health professionals, definitely the top industry. If we look at the broad sector of health for Jeff Cruz, again, oh, there was just another $5,800 that was donated to him. But forestry, the forestry business, also contributing much to his campaign. Agriculture, I should say, contributing a lot to his campaign, looking to be about $50,000, a little more than about $60,000. So between agriculture and the health industry, it's no surprise that Jeff Cruz was so fervently against medical marijuana, against loosening up marijuana laws. People in the healthcare industry do not want that kind of competition. So there we go. There's your Jeff Cruz information for the day. We're still waiting on that bill to be passed or to be signed by the governor to protect people from the forestry industry that wants to spray people. So we will see that. Also, if you just joined us, California's Governor Jerry Brown has signed the Medical Marijuana Patient Organ Transplant Protection Act. So California and Washington State now both have laws specifically protecting people who have organ transplants or who are on organ transplant lists from being kicked off of them for medical marijuana. Which has been the case in many states where medical marijuana is legal. And now in Oregon, let's see, I think we had a bill up for that as well, but bill to end organ transplant denials for medical marijuana patients. I'm still trying to find the information in Oregon. I think we had a bill on that. I am not finding it in my initial Google searches, but this is something that all the medical marijuana states need to pay attention to. And to their credit, Marijuana Policy Project has placed this kind of protection in some of their latest medical marijuana bills. So some of the newer medical marijuana states already have this sort of protection. It needs to be passed on to every medical marijuana state. Nobody should have to choose between marijuana and getting a life-saving transplant. And this is personal to me. One of our friends here in Oregon, one of our longtime activists, Jim Clark, who qualified for medical marijuana, went without it for 9 years because he was awaiting a liver transplant. And the most shocking thing about this is for these guys that are waiting liver transplants, they're under a lot of pain. They're suffering a lot of pain. And almost every painkiller you can give a patient with liver cirrhosis is bad for the liver. All these opioid painkillers you want to give a guy are harmful to the liver. They're hepatotoxic. Guess what's not hepatotoxic? Cannabis. So you deny these people the one pain relieving medication that isn't going to harm their already fragile liver because you don't want to give any organs out to drug abusers. This is a travesty and an abomination. Anytime it happens, I first heard of this kind of story in 2008 in the case of Timothy Guerin, or it was 2009, I can't remember, it was a while ago. He was a Seattle musician who had medical marijuana recommended to him because he was dying of liver failure. And his doctor specifically recommended it because it wasn't so bad for his liver. But that doctor, unfortunately, didn't know that the organ transplant centers would kick him off the list for his use of state-approved medical marijuana. One transplant center said that he had to go 6 months sober without medical marijuana, and then they'd let him back on the list. Another one said they'd give him 60 days if he could pass a piss test. Well, Tim Guerin died a couple of weeks after that, after going cold turkey on his medical marijuana. All right, we're going to take a break, and also coming up, we've got some other miscellaneous stories to pick up. The issue of industrial hemp here in the state of Oregon, the medical marijuana PAC wanted very desperately to get hemp farming banned for fear of cross-pollination. We'll tell you how that turned out. Also, an interesting ruling out of Connecticut, where the Connecticut Superior Court has ruled on the use of hair testing for people applying for jobs or people who have jobs. We'll tell you how that turned out and the little twist that happened because of it. But first, it's 420.
Well, la-dee-frickin-da!
It's So happy 420 from Legal Oregon. I'm enjoying a nice fine vapor pen here. Currently out of flower. We'll have to do something about that. We're back with Electric Bob and our Daily Toker Tunes right after this. Stay tuned.
Twenty Radio, turning red states and blue states green. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody, here in Portland, Oregon. We're just overcoming our heat wave. Oh, my God, the temperatures were all the way in the 90s. So we've got Electric Bob on the line to give us a sound thrashing for that.
90s, huh?
Yeah, all the way up there. Woo!
I was just riding my bike in 106-degree weather, and it was nothing.
106.
Well, I'm so used to it. I've lived here 20 years.
Yeah, calling us from Arizona, where how hot has it been lately? Is it bigger than 106?
Probably. I'm not paying attention. It's just hot.
Yeah, after 105.
It's over 100.
Yeah, after 105 is just fucking hot.
Yeah, I could probably go outside and cook my dinner on the sidewalk if I felt like it.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, we're looking forward to Arizona possibly legalizing marijuana in 2016. Any updates, any new news down there about, I know you had two groups trying to legalize.
Well, one group is just the fringe. And MPP is going to get what they need, and I'm staying in the camp. It's going to be legal with all the states that what is it? Only one state hasn't done, and that was medical in Florida, that have had legalization on the ballot since 2012.
Yeah, well, yeah, correct. Oregon's 2012 effort failed, but then of course we legalized again in 2014. So yeah, we've got a pretty good track record so far.
Yeah, I'm saying after Colorado. So
right.
And with what I follow all the local news stations, and if that's any kind of word on how it's going to go, there's people like the top comments are always yes, and I always look through them because I just like debating people, and I can't debate anyone because everyone agrees with me.
Yeah, no kidding. I wonder how much it changes. I know Arizona is kind of like Florida, that you got a lot of snowbirds, and so like when they're taking a poll in the summertime, are they really getting like who's going to be voting on this come wintertime?
Exactly, because we have a bunch of people who live in Florida who still can vote here because they have seasonally.
Yeah, or even people from like Idaho, Montana, and such that might, you know, live up there in the summertime and come down to Arizona in the wintertime, and they're going to be older, probably more conservative folks.
Yeah. Well, we have seven million people here, and I'm pretty sure it's well under a million that are snowbirds, so I'm thinking the numbers are in our favor.
Yeah, and maybe some of these snowbirds might be coming from states where it's legal, and they want to have it legal where they spend their winter time too. So we can hope for that.
Exactly.
All right. I told people about your record label, Dusk Till Dawn Records. It's out there on SoundCloud, and
it's Dark Till Dawn.
I keep thinking Dusk Till Dawn because of the movie with Salma Hayek.
Yeah, no, trust me, you're not the first person. I'm thinking about changing the label name because everyone gets the two mixed up. So I'm like, I can't really change it right now.
All right.
But,
so yeah. You got all sorts of great artists that you're premiering on your label. What do we got today?
This is Rhythm Baboon. He's not on Dark Till Dawn. He's on a Polish Juke Records, which is it's out of Poland. It's like a footwork. It's mainly like a Chicago sound, but since like 2012, the sound has just gone all over the world because there's a bunch of big like underground record labels pushing it a lot.
Okay.
And this, like, it has a really like old school ravey type of feel, but it still has that like new school like hop house kind of footwork kind of feel too.
Very cool. And for tonight's Electric Bob's Boogaloo, what do you got on tap?
I don't know if you guys remember the song Spooked. I played that guy Iyer. He had a mix on JunoDownload.com, and I'm gonna play his mix tonight.
Far out. All right, check that out at 8 p.m. Pacific time, and replays on the weekends, and I think the weekend replay is like 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific. Yeah, so the dance party starts with Big Daddy Fink at 10, and you can follow it up with the house music of the Electric Bob's Boogaloo at 11. All right, let's get to the tune. This is Rhythm Baboon with First in Your Heart, VIP. Thanks, Bob, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'm going to take it, Dad. You take it easy.
All right, man.
Your last on your dial, but first in your heart.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everyone. Toker Talk Radio. Phone lines are open at 84-420 Radio. Call toll-free 844-207-2346. Can you feel it out there, people? Can you feel the burn? I'm going to talk a little bit about Bernie Sanders, the independent Democrat from Vermont, running for his party's nomination for president against the anointed frontrunner, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm going to just tell you right up and up here that all my life I've pretty much voted Democrat. And not that I'm particularly proud of Democrats at times, but given the alternative, which is usually a Republican I hate, I can deal with a Democrat that I can tolerate. So that's generally been my votes throughout my life, just given, you know, mostly lesser of two evils votes. But in Bernie Sanders, I find a candidate that I can actively support, that I can be proud of supporting this man, because he seems to be lining up with my ideals on just about every issue. But there's one issue he's still a little wishy-washy on, and that's marijuana legalization. Now, he did write back in the 70s that we should abolish all laws dealing with drugs. But lately, he has said that, quote, Colorado has led the effort toward legalizing marijuana. I'm going to watch very closely to see the pluses and minuses of what they have done. I will have more to say about this issue within the coming months. Now, of course, among Democrats, marijuana legalization is very, very popular. Latest Pew poll shows 59% back legalization. Gallup says it's 64%. And CBS News records it at 60%. And of course, those numbers only grow when you're talking about younger Democratic voters. So a Democratic candidate who comes out strongly in favor of marijuana legalization could turn that vote his way and energize younger voters by giving them something interesting to vote for, something they actually care about, marijuana legalization. Part of this Bernie Sanders momentum is starting to be noticed by the political elites who just weeks ago were, you know, saying he's a fringe candidate, he's got no chance. Meanwhile, they give Donald Trump, you know, all the coverage in the world, even though he's one of how many candidates now on the Republican side? 14, 15 candidates out there. They all seem to get treated like, you know, smart, important people. But Bernie Sanders is apparently, according to the media, too liberal, too progressive. He calls himself a democratic socialist. Oh my God, he can never win. But they're starting to take notice now that in New Hampshire, he is closing in on Hillary Clinton in the polls. She opened with a 38-point lead against Sanders. That has dropped to just 8 points in New Hampshire. And in Iowa, he is starting to gain as well. And as you know from U.S. politics, Iowa and New Hampshire are the first two places to vote for president. Should Sanders do well in those two states, who knows what could happen with his candidacy. The other thing people are starting to notice is people want to listen to Bernie. He's drawing crowds of 5,000 to 10,000 people. The photographs are just amazing, showing all these people sitting there wanting to see Bernie Sanders and to listen to his policies and ideas for America, compared to Hillary Clinton holding closed session little town hall chats and closed little talks with hand-selected people. Now, Bernie Sanders has raised $15 million in the same time that Hillary Clinton has raised $45 million, but Hillary Clinton's getting all that from the big money donors, the typical Democratic elite sources, whereas Bernie Sanders is collecting his in less than $100 increments from thousands and thousands of people. Now, if this script sounds familiar, you may recall in 2008 that Hillary Clinton was the anointed frontrunner, the guaranteed Democratic nominee with the huge Democratic establishment machine behind her, who was going to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars. But she didn't really know how to take advantage of social media. She wasn't very savvy when it came to the internet. And along comes a relatively unknown senator with a funny name that started with a B, who was considered to have far too liberal policies and was way too unseasoned and not ready to be a legitimate presidential candidate. And we all know how that turned out. The candidate with a funny name that started with a B ended up unseating Hillary Clinton and winning the Democratic nomination. Could lightning strike twice in Hillary Clinton's life and twice deny her the nomination for the Democratic Party? We have yet to see, but I like what I'm seeing out of Bernie Sanders. And just recently, I think this was today or yesterday, yeah, Monday, he was in Portland, Maine, the other Portland across the country from us, speaking to a crowd of 7,500 people who had gathered to listen to him. And he started to, and he added some remarks about marijuana legalization, kind of tucked into the speech as he was discussing youth unemployment. Let's give it a listen.
And if you do not believe that there is a correlation between high youth unemployment and the fact that this country has more people in jail than any other country on earth, you would be wrong. Now, how does it happen that in this great nation, we have more people in jail than the communist authoritarian country of China, which has over 3 times our population? And in my view, and I feel this very, very strongly, instead of locking up our young people, maybe it's time we found jobs for them and education for them.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Music from Katie Verbridge. That's Smoke Verbridge. There we go. My thanks to Chris Roberts from San Francisco Evergreen. That's the gentleman I was calling last hour. Had the wrong number, but he just sent me an email. Said give us a shout anytime. So we'll have San Francisco Evergreen on the show sometime in the future. Make up for the wrong number there. So, looking at some of the other news, tomorrow on the show in our drug war data mining, I'm going to give you some information that I've just received. One of the analysis companies up there in Washington State has put together a white paper. It was forwarded to me by Paul Armentano. This is a white paper from Tetra Track LLC. They are an I-502 recreational marijuana business intelligence website, and they've released a white paper, Business Intelligence Report Powered by Tetra Track for Washington State I-502 Processors in the Recreational Marijuana Industry. There's some interesting data on this, but I haven't read through the whole report yet. I don't want to go off prematurely, so we'll have that on the show tomorrow. If you want to know some of the market information, and a preliminary thing that I can tell you from it is that Washington State's marijuana market is far, far more flower-centric than Colorado's. Colorado's market seems to be a lot more aimed at the edibles market, not so much in Washington State, where the initial figures are showing just 9%. Just 7% of the market in Washington State is edibles. So very interesting. It was much, much greater in Colorado. So we'll have that on tomorrow's show for you. Some other news I wanted to get to. I had mentioned industrial hemp here in the state of Oregon. In the House, the Oregon State House was pressured very, very mightily by the outdoor cannabis producers in southern Oregon to put a moratorium on hemp production. They wanted to have a 2-year moratorium. They wanted to make it so nobody with a hemp license, there's currently 13, I believe, licensees. And one I know for sure who's got crop in the ground, Edgar Winters, and I think there's some others that already have crop in the ground. They wanted to have a moratorium for 2 years, no more hemp planting for 2 years, and the people with hemp crops in the ground would have had to pull their plants. Now, they would have gotten this reimbursement from the state for that, but still, the pressure from the outdoor marijuana growers was going to force hemp to be banned in this state for 2 years. Well, the bill is now dead. The senators, the Oregon State Senate, voted down that bill. And just today or yesterday, the Oregon legislature closed its session. So that bill is dead. And the hemp producers in Oregon can continue growing their industrial hemp. The 13 people with permits to grow hemp can go forward with their plans, and none will have to dig up their crops, according to this report in the Medford Mail Tribune. That's a Southern Oregon paper. The bill's critics said the Oregon Department of Agriculture, not lawmakers, should decide where hemp can be grown. Now, An interesting twist in this, two Josephine County commissioners are involved as investors in an industrial hemp farm. They contend the bill, whose chief sponsor was Ashland House Democrat Peter Buckley, Ashland's another Southern Oregon city, would have put them and only them out of business. Buckley denied that the House bill was targeting anyone or giving preference to marijuana growers over hemp growers. The hemp moratorium bill passed 53-6 in the House. He says, Buckley said, quote, "We're not trying to target local investors in the Grants Pass area. We're trying to get the hemp program set up legally." So the bill has failed. The Josephine County Commissioner, one of them who was involved in this, noted that they already had crops in the ground. This wasn't fair to them. And the amendment also, there was also an amendment that was in that bill that would have banned hemp production within 1,000 feet of a school. Local real estate agent Cliff Thomason was operating a hemp farm on behalf of Orr Hemp Co., said that Buckley added this amendment specifically to kill the Orr Hemp Co. operation after learning the farm was within 1,000 feet of a public school. According to Thomason, quote, "That 1,000-foot rule, Buckley's office put that in after he found out where I had my grow," end quote. A continuing quote, "We're 30 days away from harvesting our first crop," end quote. Now, Buckley says that the only reason the 1,000-foot rule was put in was to make sure Oregon law conforms with federal law, claiming that hemp is cannabis, the same plant as marijuana, and the feds, for whatever reason, has said as a part of their requirements that it can't be grown within 1,000 feet of a school. So Buckley here was trying to use the Cole memo, which as one of its tenants says, you know, keep pot away from the kids, was trying to use the Cole memo and the federal status as hemp of hemp as a controlled substance, where it's not a controlled substance in the state of Oregon. He was trying to use the federal law to cover his ass on this 1,000-foot rule. Now, it really strains credibility to think that the DEA would swoop into Oregon to uproot a small hemp farm because it's within 1,000 feet of a school. Especially now that the hemp amendment has been added to that farm bill and signed into law that gives the go-ahead for the states that have come up with hemp laws to be able to produce hemp. It really strains credibility, Representative Buckley, to think that you were just trying to do the federal bidding here on hemp. And it really, I mean, it boggles the mind to think why in the world would we be afraid of putting a hemp farm within 1,000 feet of a school? The kids know hemp isn't pot. They know. They're smarter than the politicians on this. And if some of the kids did sneak out to the nearby hemp field and pick some hemp and roll it up into a joint and try to smoke it, they'd have such an unpleasant experience with it, it would turn them off to marijuana until adulthood. And those hemp crops being planted around the schools would prevent anyone from trying to grow marijuana crops around the schools. It seems counterintuitive, even from their point of view, to want to restrict hemp planting from around a school. So that's the hemp story here in Oregon, and we'll get you more information on that. We'll be talking with our good friend Doug Fine for our Hemp Day Hump Day tomorrow, and we'll get more information on that. Also on tomorrow's show, I'll be bringing you highlights of my presentation at the Marijuana in Oregon Business Conference that's taking place tomorrow at the World Trade Center. It runs from 9 to 5, but I'm presenting at like 9:20 a.m., so I'll go do my presentation and be back here in time for the show. All right, to finish things out, a couple of miscellaneous stories here. A new decision from the Connecticut Superior Court. Interesting situation here. Connecticut is one of the states among Connecticut, Iowa, Maine, Minnesota, Montana, and Vermont that restrict drug testing of current employees and makes it so that the only way you can drug test a current employee in those states is if they're actually suspected of using drugs to the detriment of their job performance, right? So no random testing in most jobs in Connecticut. I know the federal jobs wouldn't count here, but for most jobs in Connecticut, you can't just randomly test your employees for drug use. You have to suspect that they've been using drugs. Maine, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Montana, Minnesota, Iowa, and Hawaii have adopted laws that limit the circumstances under which employers can be required to submit drug tests. Connecticut, Iowa, Maine, Minnesota, and Montana further limit drug testing only to employees holding safety-sensitive jobs. So in Connecticut, if you got a job, not only can they not randomly test you, they can only randomly test you if you're, they can only test you for cause, belief that you're actually high on the job and it's affecting your job. And they have to show that you're working in a safety-sensitive position. Until yesterday. Because the Connecticut court, the Superior Court, has ruled that those restrictions in Connecticut with respect to employee drug testing only apply to urine testing. The case comes from a man, plaintiff Ronald Schofield Jr., was ordered to undergo hair drug testing by his employer, Luero Engineering Associates. And Connecticut law regulates urine-based drug testing, and the plaintiff sued, claiming that the statutory protections applied to him, even though he was ordered to undergo hair testing, not urine testing. The Superior Court disagreed and dismissed the case, writing, quote, "The drug testing statutes in question apply only to urinalysis testing and do not cover an employee who is subject to other forms of drug testing. While the logic of the plaintiff's position is readily understood, and the seemingly irrational inconsistency which flows from the disparate protections made evident in this opinion are undeniable, the task of changing the law lies with the legislature and not with the judiciary." Amazing, right? So now these Connecticut employers are now free to impose hair testing, saliva testing, fingernail testing. I imagine they could test your shit if they wanted to, but not the urine testing. You're still protected from that. I mean, this is one of those situations where, yeah, the court made the right decision based on the letter of the law, because the letter of the law says urinalysis. But that's not what that law was about. The spirit of that law was to protect employee rights, to make sure they couldn't be subjected to meritless, suspicionless witch hunts that could affect their employment. This is an employment rights issue, not an issue of which way are we testing, which way are we trying to infringe on employee rights. But unfortunately, the Connecticut court has ruled in favor of the drug testers. And I don't know if you know this, if you've been listening for a while, you do. That's why I'm here. I'm all for legalizing marijuana, but for me, legalizing marijuana is just one of the means to an end. And that end for me, when I know my job is done, when I know that my life's mission has been accomplished, is when no employee in the United States ever has to face a suspicionless drug test. Now, I understand people say, what about pilots? What about bus drivers? What about train conductors? Safety-sensitive positions. If you're relying on a chemical assay to determine whether or not the person in control of multiple people's lives, to determine whether or not that person's a safe operator, then we got bigger problems. There are so many ways to cheat drug tests that the idea that we're relying on someone's piss to determine whether or not they can fly a plane, that's problematic to me. And if there is cause, if we see the guy, if the pilot's coming in with bloodshot eyes and smelling like skunk or drunk or chattering like he's on cocaine or whatever, then there's probable cause. Then we have reason to start to determine what's going on with this person. But nobody, no matter what the job, should be suspected to the random seizure of their very body I think sometimes people dismiss this because it's pee in a cup, right? It's a waste product. Nobody wants their piss. Nobody thinks highly of their piss. Okay, a few fetishists might. But you know what I'm saying? Nobody gives a shit about their piss. So I think that's why drug testing has managed to gain such a foothold in society, is because most people don't smoke pot and most people don't care about their piss. So, hey, what, you want a cup of my piss? Well, that's fine. I don't smoke pot, whatever. And nobody stopped to think about what it really meant. And that is being forced to surrender your body to an employer. Your piss is your body. For what they're determining, your piss determines what you are, what you're made up of. Nobody ever thought of it that way. But since giving a little bit of pee is pretty easy and not too disgusting, nobody raised much of a fuss about it. Now, you can bet if the drug test meant you had to give, you know, a log of your shit, maybe more people might have raised a fuss about it. But no, just giving a cup of pee, no big deal. First it's a cup of pee, then it's some of your spit, then it's some of your hair, then it's some of your fingernails, then it's some of your blood, then it's your actual DNA, and the next thing you know, you're living in Gattaca. If you've not seen that movie Gattaca, G-A-T-T-A-C-A, look it up. Ethan Hawke movie, I think, was the star. Good stuff. Wow, man, time flies when you legalize. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Remember, pick up the Herb Thrasher podcast. It's brand new, up on iTunes right now. We'll have the links to it up on the 420 radio page as soon as I can figure out why they're not working. All sorts of weird computer things going on here. For everyone here in newly legal Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.